Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you join us as we face the issues each and every day. May I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma, some political philosophy, or some ideological bent, but we face the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're talking about today a subject that we'd love to hear from you, have the dialogue and discussion from you in relationship to Christmas. It's the good news and great joy. A Savior's born. The Scripture speaks about that. It is the announcement from the angel that says that there's good tidings of great joy, for born in this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We're going to talk about that today. What does it mean? How do we respond to it? How do we celebrate Christmas? What is Christmas celebration about? Why do we put up beautiful lights? Why do we decorate a beautiful tree? Why do we wrap gifts, giving, receiving gifts? What does it all indicate? What's it all about? Why is it something that we celebrate? What is the celebration of Christmas? It's good news and great joy to all people, for a Savior's born. We encourage you to join the dialogue and the discussion today on this wonderful, wonderful Christmas subject. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. After a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines and invite you to call. Today it's open mic. We want to hear from you, our listeners, about Christmas. What does it mean to you? Why do you celebrate it? How do you celebrate it? What's unique about this Christmas? What's unusual? What is the most unusual or unique Christmas you've celebrated in history past? Love to hear from you. Love to discuss it with you today. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture reminds us that the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth factor that I dwell upon and encourage you to dwell on each and every day. Because, you see, it comes into being just as the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel of yesteryear. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today, even though, according to the latest survey, the latest research shows that 55% of the millennials in America today say that each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, where he says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge us today with that, because we're talking about a subject today that demands to be heard and responded to based on the authority of the Scripture with truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business package for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions in relationship to the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, that will help you to find Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole, Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its full staff to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. We're going to talk about a subject today that is so apropos and timely because we're celebrating Christmas. And it's good news. The scripture says, great joy to all people, for a Savior is born. Let me just read to you what the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, speaking to the shepherds in the field. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, a little more than 2,000 years ago now, the world changed. Our calendars changed. Jesus Christ came into the world, and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ changed the world. Now listen, there are a lot of people that may disagree with that. There are some that will absolutely out of hand reject that. We have the atheists, the agnostics, and the naysayers. They will reject the fact that Jesus Christ is the world changer, the globe changer. He changed the clock. He changed the calendar. He changed the whole world. But ladies and gentlemen, the announcing angel said to the shepherds in the field that were watching their flock by night, the scripture says, listen to the text again. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Stop being afraid. Because you see, when the angel spoke to them from the clouds above, when the angel and the Shekinah glory was shining about, as you see in the further portion of that text, it frightened the shepherds. It was news that they had not received before. It was news that they were receiving. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the news of the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not go first to nobility. The announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ did not go to the princes and the potentates and the prime ministers and the presidents, as I call it. The announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ went to the lowly shepherds in the fields watching their flocks by night. Now I'm going to get into the diatribe of what month was it really? What day really was it? Whether it was in April or whether it was in December, whether it's the 25th of December. There's a whole lots of folks that want to debate and argue the actual day and time. We celebrate Christmas on the 25th day of December. That's satisfactory to me. Not going to argue, debate, whether and split hairs as to whether it was the right day or the right time or the right month or the anything of that nature. I'm not even going to discuss and debate with you what part. Some say it was the 3 B.C. Some say it was up to 5 B.C., et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it changed the clock. It changed the calendar. It started from B.C. to A.D. And so there's a lot to be said about the date and time and place. But we're not going into that. We're simply talking about the good news, the great joy that a Savior is born. Ladies and gentlemen, notice two or three things that we're going to talk about in these few verses. First of all, it says, fear not. Secondly, we see It's good tidings. That's good news. Thirdly, we see it's great joy. And fourth, it's to all people. And fifth, a Savior is born. Ladies and gentlemen, when we analyze the text and we do the takeoff, take away from what the text is saying to us, we need to understand that the arrival of the first Christmas, the Bible says, is good news. Good news. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, may I say to you, it is good news. It is good news that should bring great joy. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that the great joy of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is universal. Universal. You can go around the globe, every portion of the world, and you'll find in some fashion, in some form, in some way, the birth of Christ is celebrated. Now, I'm not saying that in every one of those venues, every one of those nations, every one of those cities and towns and hamlets and homes, that they're celebrating the birth of the Savior as we know it, Jesus Christ, as God come in the flesh. I'm not debating that, not splitting hairs about that at this on this broadcast. We're talking about the fact that a Savior is born, and according to the Scripture, it is good news, and according to the Scripture, it should bring great joy and celebration as a result of it. So I pray that you're celebrating Christmas, and you're doing so in the right sense. You're celebrating Christmas because it is the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. As we celebrate the birth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, may I say to you, it should bring great joy. So my question is, how are you celebrating Christmas? How are you celebrating the birth of Christ? What are you doing this celebration that's different? What are you doing this Christmas that is joyful? What are you doing this Christmas that you look at as being honoring and reverencing and receiving and rejoicing about Jesus Christ's birth? You see, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes may go through the minutia, as I would call it, of celebrating Christmas, but it's simply a holiday and not a holy day. And may I say to you that I believe that it's time, as Christians, we recognize that we need to overtly celebrate Christmas. We need to, if you please, not in the wrong sense, but in your face, celebrate Christmas, letting people know that we're rejoicing. I'm looking at an article that says Christian America is at war. It is by David Horowitz. He says, friend, if you're a Christian that wanted to attend worship service in 2020, government officials treated you like a terrorist. If you were a criminal that assaulted innocent people, burned buildings to the ground, and ransacked every business in your path, leftists handed you the keys to the city. I'll never forget, this writer says, I'll never forget what they did over the past 2 years because they want to do it again. They pretend it was all about safety, but we both know that that was a lie. It was all about control. It was about their agenda, and it was about their decades in the making, a war against Christian America. You see, he says, this writer says, you see, the radical left is doing everything in their power to rip Christianity from our culture because that's where our freedoms, our rights, our liberties, and the values that we have defined as our nation all come from. And I know, this writer says, and I know the reason leftist politicians hunted down churchgoers like enemies of the state while violent criminals roamed free over the last 2 years. It wasn't negligence. It wasn't coincidence. It wasn't incompetence. They want to tear Christianity and religion from our country because they want to replace God with government. They want you answering to the state and only to the state. And they know if they can strip America's religious foundation, they can finally shred our Constitution and destroy the institutions that made us who we are today, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, when we recognize year by year the desperation of government to eradicate anything that's called God and godliness, it needs to cause us to want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the recognition of his birth more perhaps this year than ever in the history of our great nation. The Bible tells us that the great joy of celebrating the birth of Jesus is a universal celebration. It is celebrated on a global basis. It's universal. and it's a universal celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it a celebration? Because of the birth of Jesus. You must ask the question then, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is he that should bring about universal celebration? Who is this one that was born in a manger? Who is this one that was born in a stable? Who is this one that came into the world and the world received him not? Who is this one that came into the world and there was no reception for him? Who is this one that was born in a stable and there was no recognition and no reception, no respect of him, but rejection? He came unto his own, but his own received him not, the scripture says. Who is this one? It is God come into flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate Christmas, and we do so with an honorary recognition of the great joy because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Ladies and gentlemen, can you consider Jesus' birth and what it means today? Let's pause for a moment and think. Had Jesus Christ never been born, had there never been a first Christmas, as I call it, had Jesus Christ never come into the world, there would be absolutely no celebration. There would be no Christian. There would be no coming again. There would be no church. But we have the privilege today, ladies and gentlemen, of grand, great celebration because Jesus Christ is born, because he has come into the world. Old song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Jesus, 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 like a fragrance right after the rain. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something about the name of Jesus. And the scripture says, as the angels spoke to the shepherds in the field that night some 2,000 plus years ago, the angels gave the good news. It brings great joy, and it's universal. It's for all people. So I pray that you're celebrating the Christ of Christmas. You're celebrating it on a basis that you know that it's a universal celebration, that as we see the lights, as we see the beautiful trees that are decorated, as we see the beautiful paper that the gifts are wrapped in, all have a reason behind them. And we'll talk about that in this broadcast today. I believe Pastor Davis is on the line. Pastor, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. I pray that it's a blessed day and a blessed celebration.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I thank God for the season, because Jesus is the reason for this season. And as you were saying, this is a universal joy that we can all share, because God put a hollow in the heart of man that only God or Jesus Christ or himself can fill. Mm-hmm. So when we think about how they are stripping away of Christ from the center of everything in society, especially in the church and in our lives, then that creates a hollow there. There's nothing there. There's a void. So when we consider that, Dr. Youngblood, in my own way of thinking, if there is a hollow there, then what's going to happen for people that don't know Christ, instead of having a holiday, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, they are going to have a hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W. Mm-hmm. Devoid of God, devoid of joy, devoid of all the rejoicing that God has made available to all mankind because of Jesus Christ. Now, we did a word play at the church on Sunday. We started talking about, why do people say Merry Christmas instead of saying Happy Christmas? And the reason being, after we got finished with the discussion, if we look at happiness, it is an outward expression. But when we look at being merry, it is inward joy. So if you have Christ down on the inside, he is that joy, and he is the one that proceeds out of the heart and mouths and souls of every Christian. When we say Merry Christmas, someone else should be able to feel the presence of Christ because of that inward joy, that Jesus Christ that we are sharing with them by word of mouth, because he is the Word made flesh. And we thank and praise God that he sent him for us for such a time as this.
Amen. And that's a wonderful testimony of that. Let me, Pastor Davis, take a moment. And if you will, put you on the spot for just a moment. Share with our listeners, as the Lord directs your thoughts for a moment, what is unique about this Christmas? What is it that you can ponder and think of as a past Christmas that was special, that was unique or different? What is it about this Christmas that would be considered unique or different or special in your celebration, your family, and your life serving the Lord?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when we consider the past, the lockdowns and the many things that we were denied, you know, the privileges of enjoying, especially that first year, I think it was 2018-19, and proceeding forth up until the present time right now, we're still under many restrictions. This Christmas should be special, and it is special to me. More especially, it has a great meaning to me because now we have been granted the privilege to come back together, and through the things that we suffered during the time that we were locked down, I'm hoping that some people got a chance to learn something. I know I did. I mean, I really learned a lot about the great privileges that we have, you know, granted to us, you know, from the rights, the laws, the privileges from the Constitution that we have in the United States of America on today, that our forefathers so, amen, made it available for us to enjoy. And then when we look at how God, how he guided them to come to America, and he gave them biblical principles in which to set this nation up around, and how down through the last few years, especially, well, all through, we can just start from the 1960s and come on up to now. I can remember, you know, when I was going to school, we started off every day with prayer and Bible study, reading the Bible scripture before we went into the lessons for today. But as the years progressed, they started taking things away, prayer out of school, and they wanted to remove the Ten Commandments. And now they're saying, go around and remove all the monuments out of Jacksonville and different places like that. So if today we are able to come together this Christmas and enjoy those special privileges that God has granted us to have, we ought to do that the more and rejoice the more, because he is the one that's making it available for us to enjoy. We don't know how much longer it's going to be available, because our rights are continuously being eviscerated every day.
Right.
So at this place and time right now, we need to enjoy what we have while we still have it.
Brother, you're exactly right. I believe that we need to, as my wife said on one occasion, she said, I just love to see the lights. She said, the more lights, the better, because it's saying to the world that we're rejoicing because Jesus Christ is born, and because his birth is a time of joy to all of the world, the scripture says, we should rejoice in the realization, as you said so eloquently, in looking back in perspective of what they've done in the past with the lockdowns and where the government's superseded God. And the government's trying to take away rights and privileges for the Christian. We should rejoice in the realization, first and foremost, that Christ is born. We should rejoice in the realization and the recognition that we have the privilege as citizens, as Christians, to celebrate openly and overtly and to honor him and reverence him. And I pray that our listeners are taking heed and that they will celebrate perhaps in a greater fashion. Now, I'm not talking about the revelry. I'm not talking about the acting out, as some would call it. I'm talking about in the proper celebration of the recognition that Jesus Christ has come into this world. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much for your input. May you and your family have a joyful, merry Christmas. And God bless
you. Amen. And, you know, I want to say one more thing, Dr. Youngblood. I hope and pray that believers especially don't take this time of year to go out there and get in debt, because it's not about all the things that you can get or have or give, more especially if you're able to share Christ with somebody and say that word Merry Christmas with a meaning. You know, yes. If you got Christ Jesus down on the inside, when you say Merry Christmas, it ought to have a meaning to it. So then again, when we say this, we hope and pray that each and every one of you on today have a Merry Christmas. Again, enjoy health and happiness with your family, and most of all, keep Jesus in the center of everything that you do in this season.
Amen. Pastor Davis, thank you so much, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject that should bring great joy to all people. That is the announcement and the Word of God that a Savior is born. We celebrate Christmas because of Christ. It is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Scripture in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted God with us. So as we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate this Christmas, let us be reminded that Jesus' birth represents the time in history past when God left heaven's glory and came down to earth's gloom in the form of man, in the form of Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, to be with us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because of Jesus' birth that we have God with us, that we have God with us. Can you imagine a world without God's presence? Can you imagine? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says very, very clearly, Jesus speaking John chapter 14, he says, "If you've seen me, you've seen God." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming, has come into the world. We celebrate his coming because he represents God. He is God come in the flesh. We get to know God. We get to see God. We get to have a revelation of God to man through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our Savior, Jesus Christ. There would be no Christmas. There'd be no Christian. There'd be no celebration. There'd be no rejoicing. There would be no coming again had Jesus Christ never come into this old world. We celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, as a time of joy. This is the reason it is so wonderful to have family together and to celebrate Christmas. In our family, my bride has instituted a program, if you will, or a part of our Christmas celebration where we pass out the cards and have the different names of Jesus on the cards. And each one of the family has a card and a different name of who Jesus is, Emmanuel, God with us. What does it mean? Sharing that from each one and then thanking the Lord for Jesus Christ coming into the world and praising him. We try to make it a focus not on family, not on simply celebration, not on giving and receiving gifts, but the focus in our celebration, ladies and gentlemen, for Christmas ought to be the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Why did he come? What difference does it make in our world today? If Jesus Christ had never come, there'd be no such thing as redemption. If Jesus Christ had never come, there'd be no such thing as rejoicing. If Jesus Christ had never come, ladies and gentlemen, there'd be no such thing as reconciliation, of reconciling man back to God. It is Jesus Christ, the God-man, Jesus come in the flesh, that God is with us, according to the Scripture. So, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate Christmas because, first of all, the birth of Jesus is good news. Good news. I don't know about you, but good news is something to be celebrated. When we have a wedding, we celebrate. When we have a family reunion, we celebrate. When there's the arrival of a new baby in the family, we celebrate. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas is to be celebrated, and it's celebrated around the world. And I pray today that you're celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. I pray that you celebrate this season with joy and recognition because the Scripture says that Jesus' birth is great joy. It's good news that brings great joy to all people. So the celebration and the great joy is a universal thing. And I pray that universality is taking place in your home, even today, that you're rejoicing in this season because of who Jesus Christ is and is coming into the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. We're coming back as we, right after the news, as we continue talking about good news and great joy. A Savior is born. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.